tompotra izao sy te amandratra ny anaranao izay.
We want to declare that you are our true king.
Te anambara izay fa ianao no tena mpanjakanay.
You are our Lord.
Ianao dia tompo.
You are our Savior.
Ianao dia mpamonjy.
And God, we want to acknowledge your presence this morning.
Ary andriamanitra te ankasitraka ny fanatrehanao izay amin'ity maraina ity.
We want to acknowledge that you want to do something inside of us.
Ary te amelanao anao zavatra ao anatin'ny fa ao anatin'ny fonay ianao androany.
We didn't come here, Lord God, just out of tradition or custom.
Tsy hoe mivoaka nakaty izay andriamanitra noho ny amin'ny fombafomba sy ny hoe fanao fotsiny.
We come here with an expectation that you are here.
Fa tonga izay miaraka amin'ny fiandrandrana hoe eto ianao.
That you call us together.
Hoe ianao niantso anay miaraka.
That you have a purpose.
Ary ianao manana tanjona.
You've got a plan to do something in our lives.
Manana planina no zavatra eo amin'ny fiainanay.
And Lord, you have a plan for this church.
Ary tompo manana planina ho an'ity fiangonana ity ianao.
And you have a plan in this community.
Ary manana planina ho an'izao fiarahamonina izao.
Not just those in this room, but those outside.
Tsy hoe ireto izay anatin'ity efitrano irery andro fa na ny any ivelany aza.
Those who live in this city.
Ireo izay miaina eto amin'ity tanàn-dehibe ity.
Those that need you so desperately.
Ireo izay tena mila fatratra anao.
In Jesus' name.
Ao amin'ny anaran'i Jesosy.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak about the gospel again this morning. I'm going to preach the same message in the English meeting. I know some of you stay and you also attend the English meeting. And you're welcome to do that. And the reason that I often preach the same message in both meetings is because not just the church needs to hear that, but we actually want to have the opportunity to grow to two full congregations. And so you don't actually have to hear the message twice. And you don't have to come to the English meeting. And you won't miss out. You heard the sermon here. So I'm glad to make it harder for people to come to two meetings. Preach the same message twice. And that way, possibly up to 600 people could hear it on a Sunday. So one day, if we run out of seats in the English meeting, we'll buy some more. And then if we run out of seats, I'll start asking guys in this meeting not to come to the English meeting.
You
see, the church isn't just about going and spending a day together with people you like. I mean, it is great to hang out together. But we actually exist to reach out to the lost. And we want more and more people to be exposed to the Word of God. And so if it becomes uncomfortable and there's too many people, that's a good thing. We don't aim to be big for the sake of feeling important. But we want to expand our hearts for the lost. And so we want the church to grow, even if it's uncomfortable for us. New faces, people we're not so sure if we trust, people that need the gospel. And so I want us to be a church that carries bigness in our hearts for the sake of the lost. Some people want numbers because they want to appear impressive as a ministry. That will never be my personal reason. I'm a shy person. I struggle to make friends. Naturally, I'm a bit timid and I don't know how to meet strangers very well. But I never want to let my personality stand in the way of the advance of the kingdom of God. I personally like a church of about 100 to 200
people.
But what about the others that need to be saved, the others that need to be reached? We want to raise up leaders and plant more churches. And our comfort must never stand in the way of God moving. It may be that sometime to wake us up, we have to take all the chairs out. And we can stand and sing, and then we can stand and hear the word of God. I don't want us to be comfortable. I want us to be on the edge or the sharp edge of what God wants to do. And so I know after the family day, there was more than one independent comment that I heard about, wow, there's so many people, this is mega church, we don't really like this. I didn't sign up to be part of a big church. I like a small church where I know who my friends are. We'll hear some news for you. God doesn't care so much what I like and what you like. He's not building the church to satisfy you. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to their number. Because God wanted them. And we should be asking, who does God want to add to us? Not how do I guard my favorite seat and keep my space. As a church, we need to go wherever God wants to take us. But we will always be committed to building real relationships and proper friendships with one another. And so I'm speaking about the gospel this morning. Because I've often said this church is, we want to prioritize the word of God.
Satia ko laza matetika hoe ti fiangonana ty dia ti tina atao vaindohan-draharaha ny tenin'Andriamanitra.
So we take the preaching seriously.
Kan fitorina teny dia raisinay ampa tena hoe mampamatorana tsara.
We want to prioritize the worship of God.
So we're
not just singing songs.
We want
music that brings glory to God and people that sing corporately with faith.
And we're
committed to fellowship together.
Because this
is a family, it's not a business.
It's
God's family.
And
he is building community. And in heaven, that's the eternal picture of the church. It's a community. But I feel in emphasizing those things, I've stopped short. Because we can build a really nice small community that doesn't care at all about mission. And that's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity, what we see in the New Testament, is an apostolic, prophetic people of God. Which means we exist for the gospel to reach the lost. And if the work was done, Jesus would come back. Why hasn't Jesus come back? Because the full number hasn't been gathered in yet. So we're not just sitting here waiting to get old and die. And church isn't just to keep us busy on a Sunday morning. We are people who prioritize the Word of God. Worship. Fellowship. And mission. Which means reaching out and gathering in. With the gospel. And so you need to learn how to carry the lost in your heart. And you need to have a sense of being like a shepherd who wants to gather people to Jesus. And Jesus is building his church as the community into which those people get gathered. So you're not just gathering them to yourself. You're not just gathering them to a side ministry that you do on a Saturday morning. You're bringing them into the church, which is the community of God's people, where we get closer together, we get matured together. So I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at verse
1 to 6. 1 Corinthians 15:1-6. Ary ampafantariko anareo rahalahy, ny filazantsara izay nitoriko taminareo sy ny raisinareo sady horenanareo, izay amonjena anareo koa raha tananareo tsara araka ny teny notoriko taminareo. Fanatolotro anareo ho isan'ny zavatra voalohany indrindra ilay ny raisiko dia izao, Kristy maty noho ny fahotantsika araka ny soratra masina dia nalevina ary natsangana tamin'ny andro fahatelo araka ny soratra masina ary niseho tamin'ny Kefasy izy dia vao tamin'ny 20 lahy io rehefa afaka izany dia niseho tamin'ny rahalahy tsy omby 500 izy ny ankamaroany ireny dia mbola velona mandraka kehitriny fa ny sasany efa nodimandry.
This is something that Paul says he's reminding the church.
He says you have
to hold firmly to it. He receives something and he passes it on. And it's of first importance. This gospel is not a secondary issue in our lives. It's the important issue. And he states the gospel, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So he links our faith to the word of God. According to the scriptures. This is what the church needs to be built on, the word of God. It's not according to what I want or what you want or what you think or what I think. It's according to the scriptures. That's how we build. Because we need the right foundation. Not the thoughts and opinions of man, but the word of God. The gospel's first distortion is when people make it what they want it to be. Some people think the gospel is just, Jesus died for me and I'm going to heaven. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And it's all just about securing eternity for you personally. But as we study the gospel in the Bible, we discover there's a lot more to it.
There's
theological truth that undergirds the gospel. And it's a message about the grace of God. And we discover that we are saved by grace alone. And so the Bible, the Word of God, starts to expand your view of the gospel. It starts to explain how you get saved. It's not just that I'm going to heaven. But I need to know more about the gospel than that. I need to know where do I stand now. And I discover in the Word of God it says it's by God's grace that I'm saved. This has implications. It means I wasn't saved because of my own worthiness. And that starts to change the way I think about who needs this salvation. It's nice to invite people you like to the Lord. I wanted my dad to be saved. I want to spend eternity in heaven with my dad. So I was concerned about him. But the guy who steals the car, I'd rather he gets punished. I don't want him in my church sitting next to me. See, I feel like I'm a good person.
So
my dad's a good person. My friends, my family, I want these guys saved. But those bad people, I don't want them in our church. You see, and when you don't understand the grace of God, subtly in your heart, you're thinking God picked you because you're actually okay. You were a good enough person. But the Word of God teaches us it's by grace alone so that no one can boast. In other words, you weren't saved because you're better than anybody else. In God's eyes, you were as desperately wicked as the car thief or the prostitute. And that levels the playing field. It makes us all equals. And then it says in the Word of God that it's through faith alone that you receive that promise. Salvation comes to you because you believe. Nothing else. Nothing is added to that. It isn't because you first stopped smoking that God saved you. He saved you. Because you believed in Jesus. That's all. So people don't have to clean up their act in order to be saved. They actually get saved while they're still in their sins. And in that moment of salvation, the love of God breaks into their hearts and they repent of their sins because they realize He loves them so
much.
So salvation, the gospel that the Bible teaches, is by grace alone, so it's for everyone. And it's by faith alone, so you don't have to qualify, you just have to believe. You don't have to become a good person before you get saved. So most people actually get the gospel understanding wrong. And the Bible says we have to grow in our understanding of grace. It says in 2 Peter 3:18, it says you should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've got to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus as Savior. You see, it's in connection with salvation that you have to start to understand grace better. So I want to speak a little bit about the wrong understandings.
kate iresaka ako, iresaka kely ako mumbale, we faza una disuan fila nle yo fila zansar.
And it so often shows up in our thinking about practical life matters.
Dele izi amatet kiam sewa amle lalan fumba fsaena tiki nzavata yena tiki ndavanantu.
We look at things like what people wear or whether they smoke or drink alcohol.
And we make
judgments.
But what's
actually happening is if we look carefully, it's showing how we understand the grace of God. We need foundations that are built on the true gospel.
Not our
personal views and judgments.
And not
traditional values and customs.
Gospel-centered
discipleship.
Lay fananganan o piana to say miur na wam futsom filazansara
will keep people free in grace.
Demiazna nulla halalaka awam fa swavan.
And also free from sin.
De yan kiwa miazna nulla wafaka amni fautan.
Many pastors and parents too.
Betakan ptandna, betakan rayaman genian kiwa.
Feel their job is to get people to stop sinning.
And
then they look better themselves, or their churches look
better.
So if I can get my children to be obedient, I look like a good parent. And the pastor thinks if I can get the people to stop sinning, then we look like a good church. And often pastors or parents, they think that sin is a behavior problem.
But
the Bible doesn't define it that way. The Bible says it's a problem of the heart. Sin doesn't originate in our actions, it originates in the heart.
And
so for example,
what?
Years ago, someone in the church was busy talking with his friends.
And
as I walked up, he's just said something of a swear word. And he looks all embarrassed. And he says, "Sorry, Pastor." Firstly, that whole thing is just wrong, that whole moment. I meet another guy in the church. And he's smoking. Not in the church meeting, I mean on the road somewhere. And he feels like now suddenly he must put out his cigarette because the pastor's here. We as the church have created a perception that we want good behavior. The problem with this is it creates another perception that it's by your good behavior that God accepts you.
See,
religious people, they think the pastor is God's special agent. He's a representative for God. Which is only a tiny bit true. The real truth is the pastor is just like you. And doesn't stand between you and God. Christ alone is our mediator. And we're all priests approaching God. But the problem is we create this perception, oh, the pastor's around, so now behave well. The dangerous thing is that behind that, that shows people have a religious view. Where if you're doing the right things, you're acceptable. So people try to behave well for the pastor. How long does that last? Until he's out of sight. Once the pastor's out the picture, the guys can smoke again and swear again. That's religion for you. Put your suit on a Sunday, look holy, and then the rest of the week, it's different. People need a change of heart, and then so that they seek to behave right, not because they have to, not because there's an external imposition, but because they want to from an inside desire. The inner pulling of the Holy Spirit, the softening of the heart, a tender, sensitive conscience, the Word of God alive in me, living, Christ living in me, this leads me to do what's right. Love motivates obedience. And so if people love God, they obey Him. They don't need external moral police. They need inner conviction that says, I want to do this because I love God. Even the law was meant to, the Old Testament law of Moses was meant to work this way. Deuteronomy 11 verse 13. At the giving of the law, it says, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Love precedes service. Love motivates action. So what we have to do is preach more acceptance. That's the meaning of grace. That God saved you in spite of who you are. He saved you even though you were a sinner. Not because you cleaned up your act. And when people realize that, They think, wow, he loves me so much. God loved me enough to save me while I was still a sinner. Now I want to stop sinning because I've experienced that kind of acceptance and love. So we're not downplaying sin. We're not making little of sin. But I'm showing you that people should be changed on the inside so that they're free. And then in that freedom, they choose to do what's good because of the love of God. And why do they love him? Because he first loved them and accepted them before they were holy. One of the most offensive things Jesus did the Pharisees got really upset with him about this. They said your disciples don't wash their hands. Ceremonial washing. The Pharisees love to wash their hands because it set them apart from the dirty, the unclean, the unholy, the defiled Gentiles. See, when you, as a Jew, when you touched a dead thing, you became unclean. If you touched a Gentile, you became unclean. And so this ceremonial washing said, now we're clean because of what we've done. And now we're superior to them. And Jesus ignored that. He did no ceremonial washing of hands because he knew sin's the issue of the heart. And so we want to be a people, a church that understands the difference between external and internal things. When God saves someone, he comes to them in the mud. In their state of being unclean. And he says, you don't have to wash yourself. I will wash away your sin with the blood of Jesus. We serve a God who brings hope to the broken, dirty sinner.
Come
as you are, and your sins will be washed away. He makes us clean. We don't make ourselves clean. And he gets all the glory as a result. So it's by grace alone, through faith alone, a gospel based on the word of God alone, for the glory of God alone. And we need to carry that gospel. The gospel and Jesus deal with the heart. So our discipling of people what we preach and what we teach should point people to Jesus. Not to reformed behavior. In other words, we should teach people to find Jesus and when they find him, they find his blood washes away their sins. They find acceptance in the love of God and the response is God, I want to walk pure, holy before you. But the problem is we turn it the other way around. And we say, you can't do that. Wash your hands. You can't smoke and be a Christian. And we pass judgments on external behavior, telling people if they change the external behavior, they'll make themselves more acceptable to God. Instead, we should be saying, God accepts you as you are and made provision for your sin in Christ. And then when the genuine revelation of that grace comes in a person's life, they actually get convicted of their sin and repent. I'm not preaching salvation without repentance. But I'm not going to preach repentance as being your means to salvation. The grace of God, the blood of Jesus, that's the means of your salvation. Salvation doesn't come from you washing yourself. But when it's come, then you actually want to wash yourself. Not to become accepted, but because you are accepted. I
want
to love God because He loves me. And when you love someone, you want to do what pleases them. If you're in this room and you claim to be a Christian, I hope you're not just a religious moralist. I hope you've encountered the love of God revealed in the person of Jesus who died for you when you were still a sinner. And I hope you realize God accepted you just as you are in your sin.
And
I hope you respond like I did by saying, wow, God, you love me so much. I want to love you back. I want to live for you. I want to walk in holiness to glorify your name.
And
I want to obey God because I love Him. Not to be accepted. I'm already accepted.
Fa tsy hoe mitady fakatoavana avy aminazy aho satria efa nankatoaviny aho efa nekeny taloha.
the good works of our salvation should proceed from a revelation of our justification. The things you do for God are not to make you acceptable to Him, but because you are already accepted by Him. This is the gospel we must preach. And that will allow broken, dirty sinners to come in. To hear about the love of God for them. To experience the grace of God that saves them. To put their faith in Jesus. And from there to walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as a church, we ask that we would be faithful carriers of the gospel. Expand our hearts for the lost, Lord. Cause us to long for them to experience the grace of God. We don't want to demand that people are perfect before they join. We want to be like you, Jesus, who called people to yourself just as they were. And then when they met you, they changed from the inside out, Lord. They loved you. They repented of sin. They walked in newness of life. God, help us to carry your love in our hearts. And to gather in people toward Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.